All right, so it is 7 o'clock. Welcome to Meditation 101. Thanks for coming, everyone. My name's Scott Miller. What? Oh, before I start? Okay. So, this is Jill Marie. Oh, okay. Okay. Awesome.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Jill Marie. I'm the center manager here, and I just pop into the first module of anything or the first class of anything just to say hi, introduce myself, because you guys usually represent a majority of the newest people who have never come. Is the sun just, like, blinding you right now? I could see you're, like, completely split. So who's never been in the building before? Ooh, yes, it's exciting. So I get to say hi to you first. He beat me to it, but... let's see, and I forgot to bring it in. I had a clipboard in my hand. If you would like to receive our emails, it keeps you up. It's just once a week, and we don't sell the list to anybody. We wouldn't even know how to do that if we could. So if you want to receive the weekly emails called This Week, you can just sign up on the email list on the concierge desk. It's right out front, and we'll add you to the list. You can unsubscribe yourself, so it's like if it gets annoying, you can take yourself off the list. Feel free to be comfortable moving up and down. They'll help you with that part if you want to get in chairs or sit on the floor. One thing that I'm here to mention is, especially if you're new here, it's kind of the people who come to other classes have heard me say this a lot, but if you have never come to the center like this or a center like this, we have 166 centers like this in the world, and all of the teachings are by donation only. So those of you who've called up, figure that out. But it's actually quite rare, like really rare. So other people, when our folks travel around, they're so shocked that they're like, they charge me money to go to a class. So everywhere else, most people charge for it. And here we don't do that. Everything we've done since, they charged a little bit in the beginning, but this June we're celebrating our 25th year. So we've been sharing the Dharma free for 25 years, which is really quite exciting. But we encourage you to donate. So free doesn't always mean free. It means help out when you can. You can offer service. You can talk to me if you wanted to ever do anything. You can pick weeds. You can come a little early. You can do all kinds of things here. Get a cup of water for the teacher if he needs it. Learn how to do water bowls, all kinds of fun things. If you'd like to text to give, there's a sign at the back door right by the light on how to text. So we're really high-tech now. And or you can go online, or you can drop checks or cash in the boxes. They're located in two places. Other than that, this is a really fun class. It's 5 weeks. So one thing I'd like you to know about is to give 100% and not like 95%. So if you say you're going to come to this class, make it all five modules or all 5 weeks. Just like make it happen because it progresses, it's designed, it's been around. How long has it been around, Scott? Like 20 years almost maybe or something?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, a long time. We've been teaching this consistently for a long time. So it's a very set class meant to encompass all 5 weeks that cover all the different topics. So you will benefit from it. Your family will benefit from it. Your daughter will benefit from it. And it's so make that pledge to yourself to try to come to it. You'll enjoy Scott. He's a great teacher. He's very relaxing and he's funny, and he's one of our gems. So we're lucky to have him tonight. Scott Miller, take it away.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
So yeah, thanks for coming, everyone. I've been coming here to Kadapa Center for, I just realized, about 10 years now. So, yeah, woo. It's a really great place. I would say most of what I know about meditation I've learned here. I've been interested in meditation for a really long time. Even I remember back in high school being interested in it. But what I do here is basically mow the grass. That's like my big thing here at Kadapa Center. And teach some of these really basic introductory classes that are not too much of a stretch for my limited knowledge. But, I'm glad y'all came. Jill has given her introduction and her hello. She's, like she said, the center manager. So if you have any questions about how things work here, you can ask her if you see her, or go on our website and send an email. She will likely be the one to respond. Just to say a few, and it's nice that we have so many people who are here for the first time. That's really awesome. Usually we do for Meditation 101. Just some general housekeeping items. I'm gonna bug you about this every time you come for the next 5 weeks about sitting closer. I know some people like to just hang out in the back and, you know, I'm just kind of here to see what's going on. We don't do anything crazy or scary or anything like that. So, and what I like is if you sit up front, and if you don't feel like moving right now, that's fine, but try to remember when you come next time. If you sit closer up front and we're all sitting like right up here, it's a little less like we're all shouting each other across a big room. It's a little more fun, I think, a little more, a family style, event. If you need to, when you're meditating, thank you. All right, awesome. As far as where you like to sit, if you prefer to sit in a chair, that's totally fine. You should sit in a chair if that's more comfortable for you. If sitting on a cushion is comfortable, that's great. If you're sitting in a chair, one of the things that you'll want to do right now, and I encourage you to get up and do, is if your feet don't rest comfortably on the floor, you'll see there are cushions around, and you can get a cushion to put under your feet so that your feet, when you're sitting in your chair, your feet rest flat on the cushion, so that they're resting flat on something. Either flat on the floor or flat on a cushion. And if you are sitting on the floor on a cushion, then just whatever you need to do with the cushions to make yourself comfortable. I'm not going to say we. I won't speak for anybody but me. I'm not formal. So if you need to get up and use the restroom in the back, I'm sure they told you where the restrooms are, out the door and to the left. If you need to leave halfway through for whatever reason, you know, I'm not going to scowl at you if you decide to get up and leave. If you can, if we're in the middle of a meditation and you can wait until, you know, the meditations that we do tonight won't last more than 5 minutes. So if you can wait a couple minutes until we're done to leave or whatever you need to do, that would be great so that you're not actually moving around during the middle of a meditation. But one thing I would ask everybody to, I'm going to encourage everybody to put your cell phone on airplane mode or off so that it doesn't make any noise at all. At least put it on silent, or as we say here at Kanapa Center, put your cell phone on meditate. If you have, you know, I mean, some people come here and they say, hey, my son's at home, you know, and he's, whatever, 14 years old, and I told him that if he needs anything, I'd reply right away. So obviously if you have some commitment where you need to answer a message on your cell phone, if one comes in, I understand totally. You know, obviously if you have to take a call or anything, if you can step outside to do that, that would be great. So, as I said, my background in meditation is I've been coming here about 10 years here to Kanapa Center, and I would say most of what I've learned about meditation has been right here. It's a really great place to learn, some really good resources, some really good, interesting and knowledgeable people that you can learn from here at Kanapa Center for sure. So what I'd like to do just for the next couple minutes is if you would take a moment and just introduce yourself to the people who are nearest you, the 2, 3, 4 people who are nearest to you. Just say hi to them, you know, or just say hello, make some friends. So how many people here are totally new to meditation, have never done any meditation before, ever? Okay, perfect. Do you have any people who study meditation to some extent? And how many people would say that they already meditate on a regular basis, fairly regular, somewhat regular, anything resembling regular? Okay. Yeah, usually there's a variety of people here. With different levels of experience, that's pretty normal. So let's talk about meditation. Let's kind of get right into it. What is meditation? Does anybody? Oh, one more housekeeping thing. Chris. And I think Mike, if Mike is around, we'll be passing microphones around. So I know everybody hates to talk in the microphone. Everybody hates using the microphone. But here's why we do it. We record all these sessions. So, like as Jill said, I really encourage everybody to make a commitment to come for all 5 sessions because you'll really get the most out of it if you do. But if, let's say you can't come next week, okay, no problem, come the week after, right? And we record all the sessions. You can go on our website, kadampa-center.org, and find the class recordings and find the meditation 101 session 2 or whichever one you miss, and listen to that recording and get caught up so you don't feel like you missed anything, right? So the problem is, none of the microphones that we have will pick up more than a couple feet away, not really more than a couple inches away. Like, if you're going to talk on the microphone, you have to hold it right up to your, like an ice cream cone, right? So here's the problem. You're listening to the recording of session 2 because you can't come next week, right? And you want to come for session 3, and somebody asks a question, and all you hear is meditation. Like, you can't hear what somebody's saying unless they use the microphone. So that's why we do it. It's for your benefit. Everybody's benefit if you decide to listen to one of the recordings. The only way we're going to hear anything you say is if you use the microphone. So I know some people find it a little awkward, but you get used to it after a minute or two, and we all do it. I have this thing on, so that's why we do the microphone. So I would like, if you would, to answer, and Chris has the microphone back there, what is meditation? Can anyone tell me, like, what it is and what's it for and how do you do it? Like, any ideas that you have about meditation? Yeah.
Thank you. Mindfulness, so being present in the moment, but like really present.
Okay, mindfulness, being present. Okay, anybody else have any ideas what it is, how you do it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe to become more like the observer and not just be stuck in your head so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That.
Okay. Anything else? Any other ideas? Okay. Yeah. So
in terms of how you do it, there's multiple ways to do it. You know, you can do it by, you know, being quiet or sitting. Pretty much any activity you do, you can do it and be kind of like in a meditative mode.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So people have been practicing meditation for thousands of years. I mean, it's literally been around for thousands of years. If anyone knows anything about Buddhism, Shakyamuni Buddha, we have a statue of him right here in the middle. So he lived in India about 2,500 years ago. And he went around teaching these different spiritual practices and meditation practices, and he founded this practice that we call Buddhism. And the meditations that he taught were based on, Indian meditation traditions that had already been around for 2,000 years by the time he was born. So meditation has a very, very long history in especially Indian and Asian spiritual traditions. Shakyamuni Buddha was just one of many teachers who took existing meditation practices and adapted them to a specific purpose. So, and even Shakyamuni Buddha taught different things to different people based on what he felt would benefit them the most. So, one of the things to keep in mind during this class is that thinking about meditation in terms of right or wrong really isn't that useful. It's just been taught many different ways, many, 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 many thousands of years by many different teachers for different purposes. So if something that we talk about here is different from what you've heard in the past or a meditation that you've practiced in the past, it's fine. Not surprising at all. We encourage you to try what we talk about here, give it a shot, and see what you think. And if it's not what, doesn't work for you, anything that we talk about in this class, if it doesn't work for you or it's not really what you're looking for, you don't find it helpful, just set it aside. And, again, not really helpful to think about right or wrong. It's just not working for you right now, so set it aside. Maybe you'll come back to it later. The meditation techniques that we teach here are Buddhist meditation techniques, right? So this isn't a class about Buddhism. We have another whole other class if you want to learn about Buddhist philosophy. But everything that we teach here is drawn from the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So just to tell you a little bit of background, so you know a little bit about where this comes from. So Kadampa Center, our center is, we practice Tibetan Buddhism in the Gelug tradition. So the Gelug school is one of four different schools of Tibetan Buddhism. We follow the teachings of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, whose picture is there in the middle. Our resident teacher, Geshe Gelug, is he's a Tibetan monk. He grew up in India. Went into the monastery when he was like 7 years old. And we say Geshe Gelug. Geshe is an academic title. So it's an academic title that's awarded after a program of study that lasts anywhere from 19 to 40 years. And so Tibetan Buddhism in particular is a very academic style of Buddhism. They do a lot of study. They place a lot of value on study and studying some of these texts that have been written, the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, and then commentaries and texts that have been written about his teachings. So in order to get a Geshe degree, you basically have to complete a very difficult series of exams and a very rigorous course of study. It's basically like the equivalent of a PhD in Buddhist studies and Buddhist philosophy. And I know we have quite a few people who come here to Kadampa Center who have PhDs in Western subjects, and nobody's ever disagreed with me about that, that it's pretty much just as rigorous and difficult, if not more, to get a Geshe degree than it is to get a Western PhD. So we're really fortunate to have him here. And what Geshe's are basically is walking encyclopedias. So a lot of what they do is just teach what they've learned, and they're experts in the different commentaries and different texts that have been written, including the texts that have been written on meditation. And so what Geshe Gelug says a lot is, he says, you know, I'm saying what's already been said. This has already been taught for 2,500 years. You know, I didn't just make this up last night. But that's really important, you know, because what he does is he tries to explain things in a very authentic way based on not just making up or telling us what his ideas are about things, but really trying to explain these authentic teachings about meditation that have been around and tested and found to produce benefit for thousands and thousands of years. So I'm not that good, right? I haven't been studying this as long as he has. I'm going to do my best to do that. I'm going to do my best to share with you what I've learned and try to be accurate in terms of sharing what I've learned and not trying to interject too much of my personal opinion. I probably won't do a really good job of that. So you do have to take everything we say here with a grain of salt. Even Shakyamuni Buddha said, one of the coolest things from his teachings that I heard was, he said at one point, you know, don't believe anything that I say just out of respect for me as a teacher. You have to take what I'm teaching and compare it to your own personal experience. And if you've spent some time comparing what I've said to your own personal experience, and you're convinced that anything that I say is incorrect, then you have to reject it. Right? So it's very much an emphasis on being discerning when you're listening, and don't just accept anything you hear because, you know, somebody who's sitting up here in the front of the hall says it. Another thing that Geshe Gelug says a lot is, this is just for the sake of information. You'll hear him say that many, many times if you ever come to, like, Sunday morning when he's teaching. He says, this is for the sake of information. And what he means by that is, he's not trying to convince anybody that they should be Buddhist. If you ask him, you know, are you happy that you're a Buddhist monk? He'd say, oh, yeah, great. I wouldn't do anything else. If you say, should I be Buddhist? He'll say, I don't know. It's above my pay grade. It's not my job to tell you what you should do, right? This is a very important part of Buddhist teachings, is nobody's here to tell you that you should be a Buddhist or this is what you should do. It's for the sake of information. So we're not assuming that anybody who comes here wants to become Buddhist. All we're assuming is that you came here tonight because you want to learn something about meditation. And what we're presenting happens to be information that comes from this particular tradition. But that's all an important part of it. This is all just for the sake of information. And it's up to you to decide how you want to use the information. Any questions so far about any of this? Okay. Would you guys like to try an actual meditation? Simple, rather simple one? Okay. So sit comfortably. If you're sitting on a cushion, just in whatever cross-leg position is comfortable for you. If you are sitting in a chair, like we said, if you need to get a cushion so that your feet rest flat on something. There are a lot of cushions around, either the cushions here on the floor or the ones by your seats. Just have your feet resting comfortably on the floor. Your hands can be sitting in your lap or on your knees or whatever's comfortable for you. One thing, probably the most important thing when you're meditating, is to sit up straight. So however you're sitting, if you're sitting on a cushion, try to sit up straight. Not rigid and stiff, but just, you know, sitting up straight. feeling very supported by your body. If you're sitting in a chair, try if you can to sit up straight so that you're not like leaning or slouching against the back of the chair, but you feel like you're supported by your body and not by the chair itself. You can have your eyes open or closed. If you have your eyes closed, you can just have them lightly closed. If you want to have your eyes open, then they should be just slightly open, just to let in a little bit of light, not really focusing on anything. So focus your attention on your breathing as you sit. And breathe naturally. Become present in the moment and place where you are. Just focus your mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. Think about your motivation for this meditation session. So think that you're meditating not just for your own individual benefit, but also you're taking the time to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, able to be a benefit to all beings. So focus your attention on your physical body. Find a suitable position with your spine straight, but if you need to adjust or move around a little bit to get comfortable, please do that. You don't want to be stiff or rigid. Focus your attention on the lowermost point of your body, where your body is in contact with the earth. Feel the substance and earthy character of your body. Concentrate for a moment on that contact, on the weight and substance of your physical form. Pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness, while focusing at that point. Slowly and mindfully move your attention upward through your body. Pay close attention to every aspect of your body, all of your physical sensations. Note areas of tension and relax them. Note any sensations of coolness or warmth. Note places where one part of your body is touching another. Move upward through your legs, your hips, your hands in your lap. Notice the curves of your body's silhouette. Move upward through your belly, your waist. Note the curves of your arms. Continue to move upward. Note the rising and falling of your chest with your breathing. Notice the curves of your shoulders. slowly, mindfully keep moving upward. Pay special attention to your shoulders, neck, and your jaw. If there's any tension there, relax those areas. Continue moving upward. Notice the tilt of your head until you reach the crown of your head. Allow your attention to rest at your crown for a moment. Pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness, while focusing here. Is your mind's character different while concentrating here than it was when you were focusing on the lowermost point of your body? What differences can you note? Slowly move your attention back downward through your body in the same way. Move slowly and mindfully from the crown of your head back down your body, noting everything about your body as you move your attention back downward. Bring your attention all the way back down to the cushion or the floor where your body is in contact with the earth. Again, focus your concentration at this point and note the character of your consciousness when focusing here. Again, note the nature of your mind state when concentrating here, the point where your body is in contact with the earth. Any differences from your mind state when concentrating at your crown? So to conclude the meditation, dedicate any positive energy and insights from this exercise to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. And when you're ready, bring your attention back to the room. So what did you guys think of that? Anybody have any thoughts they want to share, experiences? Anything they noticed? Yes, sir.
in a book that I read, it was about how to meditate. It said if your mind is wandering, when you inhale, think sitting, and when you exhale, think breathing.
Okay. When you inhale, think sitting. When you exhale, think breathing. Okay. Yep. And there are some ways that we can, we haven't really gotten to that yet, but we're definitely going to talk about some ways to keep your mind from wandering when you're meditating. Actually, I wouldn't even say keep your mind from wandering, but that's a normal part of what happens when you're meditating, that your mind tends to wander, and what to think about that, or how to deal with that. So yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. Anything else? Anybody else have any comments or thoughts? How did you feel? Did anyone notice a difference when, so we had you sit and concentrate on the crown of your head for a little while and think about that, and then think about, you know, and think about how your mind felt, the nature of your mind, you know, what did it feel like when you're concentrating on the crown of your head? And you're also concentrating, you know, on your contact with the ground when you were concentrating at that point where your body's in contact with the ground, and thinking about how your mind was at that point. Did anybody notice any differences? Was that like, was it all the same, or did anybody notice anything different between one and the other?
Yeah. I did notice an expansive feeling when I was concentrating on the crown of my head, and a more grounded feeling.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I noticed when I had, when we were doing the crown of the head, that I was feeling much more relaxed and mm-hmm. open. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because of the timing, you know, but it felt very different from the grounding.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah.
Good.
When I was concentrating on the on the touch of my body with the earth, I kind of felt heavier. Like, you know, I was more aware of the weight of my body.
Interesting. Heavier versus lighter, yeah. Oh, and by the way, you're welcome to bring drinks if you want in here. Just, you know, bring your stuff back out with you. But if you want to bring water, soda, whatever you like, you're more than welcome to do that.
Exactly.
When I was focusing on my contact with the earth, I felt like grass was growing around me because it was contact with the earth.
You thought of grass growing around you. Oh, interesting. Excellent. Okay. So it's pretty common when you know, to have a, like a little more, some people describe it as a more grounded feeling. Some people describe it as a heavier feeling when you're focusing on your contact with the earth, and a more open or expansive feeling when you're concentrating on the crown of your head. If you didn't notice anything, you know, that's okay too. Not everybody has the same experience. So, but that's part of, and one thing about these exercises that we do, these meditation exercises, is they're all available as handouts. And I wrote a website URL up there on the board. And you can come up after class if you want to take a picture of it or copy it down or whatever. But you can go on our website and download all the handouts for this class. And they have all the meditations that we do here are written on the handouts. So you could, I mean, if you wanted to, you could even record yourself reading them and then just play that back while you're meditating. Yeah. Or, you know, get the recordings of the classes. But something that you could try more, a few more times. Try the same exercise a few more times and see if you do notice a difference and what the difference is. And it'll be a little different for everybody. You know, it's not like there's a right or wrong answer. So great. So we're going to do another meditation, and if you need to get up and move around a little bit, you'll notice me doing that, getting up sometimes after we finish meditating and move around a little bit. You're totally welcome to do that. I highly recommend it. You know, keep the blood flowing a little bit. You definitely don't have to sit in one place for the whole time. Yep. Yeah, and that's another thing. That's awesome. You can... if you want to try sitting on a cushion, oh, well, like, what's that? That's, and it's not like you're supposed to do that. You know, the real priority when you're meditating is to be comfortable. So it's not like it's right to sit on a cushion and you're not, like, really doing it right, Mike, because you're sitting in a chair. You know, it's whatever's more comfortable for you is the goal. If you want to try sitting on a cushion, try sitting on a cushion. And if we're in the middle of a meditation and you start really feeling uncomfortable sitting on the cushion, then, you know, just get up and quietly move to a chair. But you definitely have the opportunity to do that if you want. So, once again, find a comfortable seat. Think about sitting again if you're going to sit on the ground, on a cushion on the ground, sitting with your legs comfortably crossed, however you like. Hands either on your knees or in your lap or, you know, whatever works for you. Main thing is to have your back straight. So think about, one thing that, like a little image that helps people sometimes is to think, imagine that you're, like a marionette, a puppet, and that you have that, string coming up out of the top of your head, the crown of your head, kind of not like in the very middle of your head, but back a little bit from the middle of your head, and then imagine you're lifting up on that string, or imagine someone's gently lifting on that string, just enough to keep your back straight. Not so that you're like rigid and stiff, but just so that your back is straight. Do you have a question in the back? Okay, that's a good question. Laying down. Laying down isn't the recommended position for meditation. You can, though. Like, an example would be if somebody is physically ill and can't sit up, then laying down would be appropriate. But for this type of meditation that we do, it's considered preferable to sit up. Now, for example, I've taken some yoga classes. I'm not a yoga instructor or anything, but you do generally at the end of a yoga class, you do what's called Savasana, corpse pose, which is a meditation that's done laying down. So sometimes, you know, there are some specific types of meditation that are done that way, but for the types that we're doing here in this class, it's recommended to be seated. You're welcome. If you can, if sitting is possible. If you're ill or something like that or physically not able to, then yeah, laying down is fine. All right, so think again about your comfortable position, seated position. And have your eyes closed if you wish, or open, whichever is better for you. If they're open, just slightly open, letting in a little bit of light. Focus your attention on your breathing and just breathe naturally. Focus on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. Once again, we'd like you to create an altruistic motivation for the meditation session. Think for a moment that you're meditating not just for your own benefit, but you're taking some time now to meditate and develop your mind, become a wiser and kinder person, able to benefit all beings. So bring your attention to the opening of your nostrils. Right at the point where the air moves in and out the openings of your nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel certain sensations as the air passes. You might feel the small hairs of your nostrils move. You might feel cooler sensations as you inhale, warmer sensations as you exhale. Don't follow the air out into the surrounding environment, or don't follow the air into your body. Just keep your attention on the sensations associated with the breath right at the opening of your nostrils. Whatever sensations you notice there. And that's your job for this meditation, to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations. So as you exhale and then inhale. Mentally count each exhalation and inhalation together as one. You exhale and inhale and count one. The next exhalation and then inhalation, you count two. Count from 1 to 10, concentrating on those sensations. When you reach 10, begin again at 1. Distractions are very normal. If your mind wanders to other things and moves away from the point of concentration, which in this case is the air moving in and out of your nostrils, simply bring your attention back to your breath, and without any further conversation with yourself about it, start over at one. Even if you never get past two, it's not a problem. The point is to train your mind to focus on one point. And this can take some practice. So as we bring the meditation to a close, dedicate your positive energy and insights, any benefit that you've received from this meditation, to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. And when you're ready, bring your attention back to the room. If you'd like to stand up and stretch your legs, that's always acceptable and recommended. And while we're doing that, does anybody want to share any experiences that they had? Particularly, you know, what's interesting is to hear anything positive that people felt about doing that exercise. Anything you liked about it, and anything that was difficult, if you found anything particularly difficult about it. Yeah.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the feeling of being in the ocean, the ebb and flow of breathing in and breathing out.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I was so relaxed that I wasn't sure if I was still upright or not. You know, like I just kind of felt swayy, but I, you know, I don't know. It was nice. It was relaxing.
Excellent. Anything else? Yeah, I think someone up here. Over here.
I was going to say the same thing. I actually caught myself a couple times. I think I was worried that I was actually going to fall over, and I was like, maybe I need to sit up a little. That for me was more relaxing than the first one we did, and really having something to concentrate on, because I do find that I get very distracted very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy to hear you say that even if you only get to two, it's okay, because I don't think I got past four, and I constantly found myself, and I don't even know if I truly got to four. I would take myself there, and I'm like, maybe I did get distracted. So I think for someone who's new to this and trying to not go there, that the breath and the counting is very helpful in trying to practice that. So.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anything else? Yes, up in the front. If you can use the microphone, that way everybody can hear you better.
When I was breathing in, it felt like it was winter
because
the air felt really cold, and when I was breathing out, it felt like it was already summer because the air was really hot.
Nice. So really noticing the difference in temperature. Excellent. Thank you. Somebody else? I saw somebody else had a hand up. Yes.
I found it harder to stay concentrated with a counting meditation. Mm-hmm. The guided one you did at first was easier. It focusing on what you're saying or anybody's saying is easier. This, I think other people mentioned, you start either almost dozing off or losing track, or my mind goes somewhere else. And I think, oh, I'm not counting anymore. So that's harder for me. So.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's actually the opposite. I'm with her over there counting. It seemed to keep me more focused on what I was breathing, et cetera. And at first, I think I made it to two. Then I made it four. At the end, I actually got all the way to 10. So, I mean, whereas the one before, my mind was all over the place. Oh, I have to go back and focus on what you're saying. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, sir. The gentleman over here.
I just felt a real relief from my own mind.
Relief from your own mind. Excellent. Yeah. Great. Anybody else? Yeah.
Did I miss somebody back there? I see.
We're not in a hurry, so if some other people want to share, there's time for that.
For me to be able to, you know, to feel the air at the tip of my nose, because usually I think I'm a more shallow breather, I had to take, like, deeper breaths. And I think then my kind of like my breath was more artificial.
Okay.
And so yeah.
Okay.
The first time when we did the meditation, I always have a hard time getting the thoughts out of my mind. There's a lot of things swirling around. So when you start counting, I think that helped me better to kind of get those thoughts out of my, because I was focusing on the counting now.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, it's good to know that I'm not the only one dozing. because
yeah.
I feel like I'm going to sleep now and fall down. Or so, and I was not sure if I'm the only one who has less sleep. So, okay, it's good to know.
Totally normal. Totally normal. Anybody else? Well, excellent. Yeah, thanks for sharing your thoughts, everybody. So let's talk a little bit about meditation and what it is. I asked you guys in the beginning what your thoughts were on it or what you knew about it or thought of it. And so, you know, you can kind of see a lot of these ideas just in what we've done, being present, you know, focusing on what's happening right here, right now, not so focused on other things that are happening. Being an observer, observing your breath, observing what your thoughts are doing. So yeah, all of these are definitely aspects. All of these are definitely ideas that meditation involves. So a little bit more, in this tradition, in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, in terms of their view of meditation. So the Tibetan word for meditation is gom. That's why we said, you know, if you talked to me when I came in, I said, or any of us, we said, we're meeting in the gompa. So gompa, the word gom, means meditation hall, basically, in Tibetan. So gom is the Tibetan word for this associated with meditation. And the literal meaning is familiarization, which that's kind of interesting to a lot of people. If you have, you know, a lot of different, maybe you've had exposure to meditation in other traditions or heard a little bit about it. And so when we say the word, the literal translation of the word in Tibetan is familiarization, seems kind of strange. So, if you think, I actually looked up for when I was putting together some notes for this class, I think last year when I was leading it, I looked up the actual, like, new Oxford American Dictionary definition of familiarization, what familiar means. So it's well known from long or close association, or often encountered and experienced, or common. Right? So how does that apply to meditation? Another way to think of it is habitual patterns of thought and behavior. And so what we're looking for in meditation is to become more familiar with positive habits and positive thoughts and less familiar with negative. So more familiar with what brings us happiness and less familiar with what brings us unhappiness and suffering. More familiar with what brings us happiness and satisfaction. So we're very familiar with what's going on in the outside world, right? A lot of times, probably most of our days when we're awake, we're focusing on what's going on around us in the outside world. And we're not always spending a lot of time becoming familiar with the inner world, with what's going on in our own minds. So that's one, really one aspect or purpose of meditation, at least in this tradition, is to become more familiar with the workings of your mind. Become more familiar with your mind and actually how it works. And then an extension from that is to become more familiar or train yourself to become more familiar with what we call virtuous states of mind. States of mind that lead to happiness and satisfaction. So it's, in terms of the purpose of meditation, it's different from just relaxing. And there are meditations, there are certain types of meditations that you might learn that are geared towards helping you relax. But the actual, that's not the main goal or the main purpose of meditation in this tradition. The idea in the Buddhist tradition is that as human beings we have a tremendous amount of untapped potential. Especially untapped potential for positive thought and positive action. And untapped potential to be happy. We have a great deal of potential to be happy and to find satisfaction that we're not necessarily taught how to use or how to tap into. So that's the purpose. In Buddhism, the purpose of meditation is to transform your mind, which sounds kind of like a big, you know, serious goal, but that's the purpose in meditation. It is kind of serious. To transfer your mind gradually by gradually decreasing the negative or harmful aspects of your mind, the aspects of your mind that lead to suffering, and growing and developing and increasing the positive or beneficial aspects of your mind. That's really what we're striving for, is to become more familiar with our mind and then slowly, gradually develop the positive traits of mind, the stuff that we want more of, right? So probably if I was to ask everybody, well, what's a positive state of mind? And just think about that for a moment. If I say, what is a virtuous state of mind or a positive state of mind? So maybe you're thinking like generosity, right? Love, kindness, compassion. So we know what the good things are, right? We know what makes us feel really genuinely good. And the goal in Buddhism is to develop more of those types of thoughts, develop your ability to experience that state of mind more frequently and more powerfully. And we do that through meditation. And the idea basically is just to bring you greater peace and greater satisfaction in your life. So some of the things that you see up there, being present, being mindful. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about what those things mean in future sessions. And then not, what they mean in terms of from this tradition. One of the interesting things about this tradition is they have very specific definitions for some things that we kind of use very loosely, or we use certain terms a lot without really thinking about what we mean by them. So we tend to have really specific definitions for things in this tradition. Any questions about that? So again, just to kind of recap, the purpose of meditation, the goal of meditation, at least from this perspective, from the Tibetan Buddhist perspective, is to become more familiar with your mind, and more specifically to train yourself to be more familiar with virtuous states of mind, with positive states of mind, with states of mind that lead us to be happier and more satisfied in our lives and more at peace. And it starts with improving your ability to concentrate. So if we're going to do any kind of work on our mind, we tend to have to, we have to be a little more focused, right? Pay a little more closer attention, not be as easily distracted. And it's not easy to do, right? So this is an interesting thing. Geshe Gelug, our teacher, resident teacher, often talks about this. There are some forms of meditation and some meditation teachers who will tell you, like, the goal is to not think of anything. So your goal is to completely clear your mind, completely, blank slate, not think of anything. And that's not what we try to do in this tradition, because in the Tibetan Buddhist view of the mind, the function of the mind is to think, is to have thoughts. So if you all of a sudden, out of nowhere, try to tell your mind, don't think, stop thinking, it's like telling a dog, don't wag your tail when you see a milk bone, right? I mean, it's the natural function, the normal everyday function of the mind is to have thoughts. So we're not necessarily trying to completely clear our minds, but what we are trying to do is train our minds to be able to focus on one specific thing. And so when we do these concentration meditations, those are the types of meditations that we've done so far, where you're focusing on your breath, or you could focus on your body, moving up and down your body. But we do a lot of meditations where you're focusing on your breath. And again, the goal is to improve your ability to concentrate. That's the purpose of that particular type of meditation, when you're either counting your breaths or just focusing on the breath without counting. It's training your mind or improving your ability to just stay focused on one single thing for as long as you want to, which sounds easier than it actually is when you start trying to do it, because our minds are very easily distracted. We switch from one thing to another very easily. And there's a story, I forget who told me this, I wish I remembered exactly where I heard this story. It was like when I first started coming here and I was going to like one of these meditation 101 classes, but someone was talking about a meditator they had met, like a teacher they had met, and this teacher was one of those people that they go to India and they go to some monastery somewhere where they have these little caves in the mountain or these little huts, and people will go and spend like 7 years, and you have your little cave and your little hut with like your meditation cushion and a bed, and that's it, right? And you're just nothing except meditating for as long as you want to do it. And people will like bring you food and stuff so you don't have to do anything. And so somebody who was like a very experienced meditator and had done this, spent years and years meditating and done these really advanced meditation retreats and was a meditation teacher. And this person said that they were getting really, really, they were starting to be really, really happy because they were able to count to 2 without getting distracted. After all that, right? So, again, it depends on how do you define distracted, right? Some of us are just happy if we can sit and count to two without thinking about, like, the email that we have to send or a conversation we have with somebody, right? Some of, you know, but somebody who maybe has been practicing for a long time might be really happy if they can count to two without thinking about anything else at all. With every fiber of their mind, every part of their mind completely focused on that one point of meditation, whether it's the breath or something else. Right? So that's one of the things that's kind of interesting about this, and I think very cool about this, is the basics of some of these meditation practices are simple. You know, you can download the handout, read it a couple times, and go do it. Sit there and count your breaths. Just focus on your breathing and count your breaths. But you can do this and practice this for as long as you want, and the more you practice it, the more picky you get about how focused you want to be, and the more the better you learn to focus, the more you kind of see, oh yeah, I want to, you know, there's even more I can do even better and better. So they're very simple to learn, but you can still do them for a very long time and continue getting things out of these simple meditations, continue getting benefits out of these simple meditations. Did you have a question? Or
yeah.
Can we get a microphone?
Scott, one of the things that I really liked is that you keep on saying practice, practice,
yeah.
Practice, practice, practice. It's the same thing with, like, yoga. I've been doing yoga for 14 years, and I'm horrible at it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Success is the ability to go from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. But you do have, this is one of those things that if you decide to keep at it, you will get more out of it. So let's talk about meditation posture. Because how you sit does end up being fairly important in terms of getting the most benefit out of the practice. So we have what we call the 7-point meditation posture. Let me just see where I'm at for this. Okay. So 7-point meditation posture. So the first point, point number one, and they have a lot of numbered lists in Tibetan Buddhism. It's so that you can remember things easily. If you remember there are 7 things you're supposed to remember, then it's a little bit easier to remember them all. So the posture for your legs, if you're sitting, we'll start with a chair. If you're sitting in a chair, again, you want to be sitting up straight. So if you need a cushion, if your feet rest comfortably on the ground, that's fine. It's better for you to have a cushion so that your feet are resting on something. If your feet don't go all the way to the ground and you prefer to have a cushion, or you should, if your feet don't rest comfortably on the ground, then you should put a cushion under your feet so that your feet are resting flat on something. Other than that, if you're sitting in a chair, again, just trying to sit up straight, having your back straight. Like, so imagining you're a marionette, you have something gently lifting you, like a string gently lifting your crown of your head to help you sit up straight. So you're feeling very supportive, not slouching against the back of the chair or leaning back. If you're sitting on a cushion, so have your legs crossed in a comfortable position. And that could be, if it's comfortable for you to sit, like in a, I don't know, one of our nuns calls this crisscross applesauce, but just like this with your legs crossed, okay? Some people sit in what we call the half lotus or half vajra position, which is where you take one foot and rest it on top of your leg. You can try this if this is comfortable. Now, this or anything I show you beyond this, don't hurt yourself, right? Some of these, like going even in a half vajra position or beyond that, is you might be able to do it if you've done a lot of yoga and stuff and have a lot of flexibility or natural flexibility. But if any of this is uncomfortable for you at all, then you shouldn't do it because you're defeating the purpose. The purpose is to be comfortable. So this is what we call a half lotus. A full lotus is where you have both feet on top of your legs. Okay? You'll see me sit this way sometimes, and the only reason I do this is because I've been doing various activities like yoga and wrestling back in high school and things, martial arts, things that require flexibility. So because I've been doing that stuff all my life, this isn't uncomfortable for me. And it keeps my legs from falling asleep. The only reason I do it is because it keeps my legs from falling asleep. If it's uncomfortable for you, then again, it's defeating the purpose. So try to find a position that's comfortable for you. In the beginning, you really only want to be doing relatively short meditations anyway. 5 or 10 minutes are enough. So if you can find a comfortable position that you can sit in for 5 or 10 minutes, without your legs falling asleep too badly, then, you know, practice that and move on from there. But the important thing is to be comfortable. if you're doing really, really super advanced forms of meditation, you know, high levels of concentration, everything, then there are reasons to sit in this position, and I don't know any of that stuff, so the main thing is to be comfortable. Your arms, so in this tradition, the Tibetan tradition, the normal thing we do is you have your palms facing up, your right hand is resting on your left hand, like this, and your thumbs just gently touching. Just kind of like you're holding a piece of paper in between your thumbs. And then just rest your hands in your lap comfortably. Okay? So palms facing up, right hand on top of left hand, thumbs gently touching. If you're more comfortable just sitting with your hands on your knees, that's fine too. Your arms should be away from your body. You know, imagine you're a monk back in India, no air conditioning, and you're going to sit and meditate for hours. You want a little air circulating to keep you cool, right? It's hot there. So that's, but that, you know, anywhere you're meditating, it's, you don't want your arms pressed against your body. You want your arms loose away from your body to let a little air circulate so you don't get hot. And your shoulders, think about your shoulders a little bit. Your shoulders should be back a little bit. Some people describe it as a very regal pose. So you're trying to look a little dignified here. Not stiff, your shoulders way back and stiff, but just, you know, not slouching. Having your shoulders back a little bit. Your back is the most important. So your back should be straight, and again, not rigid, but upright. You should feel like you're very supported by your spine. So for some people, it helps to think of the marionette trick, like your crown of your head is being lifted up gently by a string. Some people, it helps to think of your back or your spine as a stack of quarters, a stack of coins, or a stack of blocks, sitting one vertebrae on top of another. So whatever visual trick or mental trick helps you think of sitting up straight. You should feel very supported, not stiff, not uncomfortable, but very upright and supported. In the beginning, it can be easier to concentrate with your eyes fully closed. That can reduce distractions. Some people find it a lot easier, and they get a lot less distracted if their eyes are closed. For some people, it's just the opposite. For some people, if your eyes are closed, you have a tendency to nod off. So if you find you get a little bit of that sinking feeling, these are two things that we talk about when meditating. One is a sinking mind, where you're kind of on the verge of dozing off. And the other is a rising mind, where you're distracted very easily. So if you find yourself, especially if you find yourself having a tendency to doze off, then you might find that having your eyes slightly open, letting a little bit of light in is helpful. If it's easier for you with your eyes closed, that's fine too. Your jaw and your mouth, so your lips should be closed, your jaw should be relaxed. You don't want your teeth clenched. So if your jaw is relaxed, your lips closed, and your teeth just slightly open, that's fine. Jaw relaxed. And if you take the tip of your tongue and place the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth right behind your front teeth. So it's like that little point right behind your front teeth on the roof of your mouth. Touch your tongue against that point. This helps reduce the need to swallow. So, going back to the numbers, which I should be paying more attention to, the legs are number one. The arms, that's the second point of the seven-point meditation posture. Your back is the third point. Your eyes are the fourth point. Your jaw and your mouth, the fifth point. So lips closed, jaw relaxed. The tongue, tip of your tongue, resting against the roof of your mouth behind your upper teeth is the sixth point. And then your head is the seventh point. So your head should be tilted slightly in a way that just naturally directs your gaze out in front of you. So if your eyes are resting in a position and your head is resting in a position, that just naturally directs your gaze about 6 feet or 8 feet out in front of you, about a body length or a little more out in front of you. That's where you want to be. If you find that you have a tendency or you're starting to feel like you're dozing off a little bit, it can help to lift your head a little bit. If you find that you're very easily distracted and you're having trouble concentrating, you can lower your head just slightly. So sometimes it's helpful to think about raising or lowering your head just a little bit, just slightly, depending on what works better for you. So that's the seven-point meditation posture. So So I was talking a moment ago about concentration. Concentration we define as the ability to set your mind on one thing without distraction. The ability to actually focus your attention on one single thing without other distractions. So that's the purpose or the goal of the concentration meditations we do, like counting the breaths. Mindfulness is, I'll just read the definition here. And again, keep in mind that we maybe use these terms a little bit differently than you may have heard them use otherwise. But mindfulness is an inner awareness and observation of the consciousness, of the stream of consciousness. So thoughts, emotions, etc. When you're aware, it's kind of like there's a part of your mind that's an observer and paying attention to what's going on. Like, concentration is the ability to focus on one thing. Mindfulness is a part of your mind that's paying attention to whether you're doing that or not, if that clarifies it a little bit. So if you are concentrating solely on one thing, counting your breaths and all, you know, your attention is on counting the breaths, and you're not being distracted by other things, then you're concentrating. There is that one aspect of your mind, though, that one part of your mind that's not totally concentrating just on the breath, but is more aware of, are you really doing that or not? You know, are you doing that or are you distracted? So that's concentration and mindfulness. And they're both, you know, important things that we want to become familiar with, and we want to, skills that we want to develop as part of meditation practice. So, we're going to do another meditation. This is a bare attention exercise. And this is considered more of a practice of mindfulness, or an exercise in mindfulness. So seeing if you're being mindful. So get comfortable wherever you'd like to do this exercise, on a chair or on a cushion. So breathe naturally, letting your attention rest on your breathing. Just think for a moment about how you're sitting. Review that 7-point meditation posture. The legs, the arms, the back, the eyes, the jaw, tongue, head. Letting yourself breathe naturally. And if you'd like, for just a couple moments, do the counting the breaths exercise to just deepen your focus a little bit more on your breath. Narrow your focus a little bit more onto your breath by counting your breaths. Allow your mind to settle, come into a state of deeper focus and concentration, ready to engage in meditation. And once again, we're going to create an altruistic motivation for this meditation session. think that you're meditating for your own benefit, but not just for your own benefit. You're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, improving your ability to be a benefit to all beings. Focus your attention at the openings of your nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. Notice the sensations as the air passes, the small hairs moving, the cooler sensations as you inhale, and warmer as you exhale. Again, you're not following the air into your body or out into the surrounding environment. You're just focusing your attention on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. You might think of yourself as a gatekeeper, just watching the breath flow past as it enters and exits the body, keenly observing everything that arises in this area of focus. And in the beginning, if you find it helpful for your concentration, you can mentally note in and out with each inhalation and exhalation. You're using the breath as an anchor for your attention. If you find that your mind is especially scattered or distracted, try to place more emphasis on the element of concentration, in this case your breath. Try to focus your mind more firmly on your breath. And once again, distractions are normal. You might find yourself distracted by a thought or by an external sound or sensation. Maybe you're distracted by itching or pain. As soon as you wake up to this and realize that it has happened, simply take note. You might think thinking or sensation. But don't get upset or disturbed, and don't judge. Just very gently disengage from the thought or the distraction and return your attention to the breath. as you go throughout your day, you can check on whether or not you're being mindful. Do you always know what you're doing while you're doing it? Is your attention on the thing that you are doing? Or is it elsewhere? Meditation is not an isolated activity. It's an integral part of our lives. So as we bring the meditation to a close, dedicate all the positive activity, all the positive energy you've created through the practice of mindfulness meditation to becoming a better and better person who is more at peace in life and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. And when you're ready, gently bring your attention back into the room. So what we've done is just really been an introduction to meditation, right? Brief introduction. We've talked a little bit about what it is and why we do it and what the purpose is. You've had a chance to try some brief meditations. And some points that some people made were really good ones. You know, some of these, especially in the beginning, if you were going to be really serious and develop a serious meditation practice, you'd probably want to try a lot of different types of meditation. And if there was one that you found particularly difficult, you would probably do it for that reason, right? You know, just to develop your ability in that area more. But in the beginning, you know, you may find that some are a little bit easier for you, that some meditations, like maybe counting, works better for you. It helps you keep your concentration better. And maybe for someone else, not counting, they find it easier to concentrate just doing the one that we just did is called the bare attention exercise, where you're just focusing on your breath without counting. Some people find that less distracting and easier to focus on the breath when they're not counting. So it's definitely, you know, a case of doing what's right for you and what works best for you if you want to try this out. Does anybody have any questions right now about anything? Yes, Bobby?
I find that for me at home, it's easier to do meditation when there's like some like meditation music on. Mm-hmm. Is this a good practice, or is this something that's going to like make it hard for me when there is not going to be music, you know, to do meditation?
Mm-hmm. I would say if it helps, the only thing I can think of that's related to that is somebody asked specifically about like meditating on a sound or using a sound as a focus of meditation or an object of concentration. And I remember it was either Geshe Gelug or Geshe Sangpo said that that's probably not a good idea just because it's something like external like that, or just sound itself is not ideal. So I would say maybe if it's been helping you, that's good. But if you can try to practice without it, you know, without any external support, and just focusing on, you know, your own ability, you'd probably, you know, get more benefit from that eventually. Building your ability to concentrate without using that to help. Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions? Okay. If you do want to try this, it's You don't have to do long meditations. I mean, I think the longest one we did today was 10 minutes, which is a nice, you know, amount of time to start. It gives you some time, like if you're going to count your breaths, it gives you actually some time to practice it, gives some time for some other thoughts to come intruding, and you have a chance to let those pass by and bring your attention back to your breath. Even for 5 minutes, though, you know, even if you find that you're particularly busy and if you can get yourself to just sit down and meditate for 5 minutes, that's great. Geshe Gelug says that all the time. You know, and this is somebody who basically grew up in a monastery and has been studying Buddhist meditation all his life. He always says 5 minutes is fine. So if you really, if you want to really give this a try and, you know, practice this, consistency is really important. So not just like, you know, I mean, it's great to come to a class and try it once. If that's all you wanted to do and just come here tonight and try it once, fantastic. Thanks for coming. If you really want to try to learn more from it and practice it, then it's consistency is what's really important. So you're better off meditating for 5 minutes every day this week, or meditating for 5 minutes for like 3 or 4 days this week. It's much better than saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, you set up this really great place in your house and you have meditation cushions and incense and I'm going to meditate here and you meditate for like 20 minutes tomorrow morning and then never do it again for the rest of the week. That's not, you know. It's better to do short sessions that are consistent throughout the week rather than try to, you know, go for it and do 20 or 30 long or, you know, hour long meditation sessions and then it just doesn't become a habit. So short, many short is good in the beginning. If you have a chance to do it a couple times throughout the day, maybe, you know, you do a little short. They say the morning is the best time to do it, you know, when your brain is just waking up before you've been distracted by everything else we do during the day. Some people other times a day work better. But if you have a chance to do it in the morning, that's really great. If you have a chance to do it a couple times throughout the day, so maybe you do a little short 5 or 10 minute session in the morning. Maybe if you have a chance on your lunch break, it's a nice way to start your lunch break, just sit. You can do this anywhere. I mean, a lot of people will do it at work. They'll find a quiet space or, you know, somewhere and just sit in a chair and just sit quietly. People, everybody thinks you're taking a nap. But there are people sit quietly at their desk for 5 minutes and do it. Or at the end of the day, you know, if you're trying to unwind a little bit from the day at work, just sit for 5 minutes and do it, one of these concentration meditations. Like I said, if you want to remember all the steps, you can go to our website. The URL is right up there at the top of the board. And download the handouts. I think it's probably the first handout has everything that we did today. The counting the breaths, 7-point meditation posture, the scanning the body, and the bare attention exercise. What we'll do in future sessions is basically look at other types of meditation. You know, we don't get too fancy here, but there are other types of meditation like analytical meditation where you might think about a certain concept like compassion or kindness. You know, well, what does that mean? And we go through a meditation that guides you through an exercise of thinking about that particular concept or a particular state of mind that you want to develop. When we talk about other aspects of how to develop a more like long-term practice, things like that. That's a little preview of what we're doing. I am happy to stick around for a couple minutes after we officially finish. So if you have any questions, please come up. If you're curious about just the center in general and you want to come up and take a look around, you can walk up on the altar and take a look and, you know, at stuff. You're more than welcome to look around. I'll answer any questions if you have questions about stuff here. I hope everybody comes back for session 2. If you have a friend or anybody who wasn't here tonight or you know anybody who couldn't be here tonight, it's best if you come to all 5 sessions, but if you miss one, you know, please come to the next one. It's not like we take attendance and don't let you in if you weren't here this week. Come on back. I am going to do, you have homework. Did I tell you there'd be homework? There is homework. So either the bare attention meditation where you just sit and focus on your breath without counting or counting the breaths. Try to do that, if you can, once every day for at least 5 or 10 minutes. At least 5 minutes. If you can do it for 5 or 10, that's great, once a day. If you miss a day, you know, do it the next day. It's not like, you know, the whole thing is over. It's not like you failed your homework if you miss a day. But just give that a try. See if you can try. Yes, you have a question? Can we get a microphone?
How do you recommend timing it?
I use on my cheap little iPhone 4 that I've had forever, there's a little meditation app where I can set it for like 5 minutes and it does this little ding chime. So there are all kinds of apps and just regular timer apps you can use for that.
You don't recommend just letting it end naturally. You want it to have a stopping point.
If you have time, yeah, sure. If you're going to do that, if you have time and you don't want to limp for like 5 or 10 minutes, then stop when it feels good. Geshe Gelug always says that. He says, stop when it feels good. So after a few minutes, if you feel like, oh, yeah, this is great, you know, and oh, maybe I'll do it a few more minutes. But try to stop it at a time where you're feeling like, yeah, this is really good, not at a time where you're like, okay, I'm just exhausted, I'm over this, I've done it, this is all I can handle for today. Try to stop when you're feeling good about it and not really try to push yourself to go until you're exhausted. But, yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah, good question. If you have any experiences, anything that you feel really goes really well, or any problems, anything that you're having difficulty with, make a couple notes about that and bring that back to class, and we'll talk about that, you know, next session. There is a book that we have here. I think we have it for sale here. It's called How to Meditate by Kathleen McDonald. So if some people are like, oh, is there a textbook for this class? And, you know, we're not that fancy, but this is actually the book that a lot of the meditations we do are. They're in here. A lot of the ones that in the handouts are in this book, too. So if you're interested in getting a book, if you think that would be helpful in reading more about meditation, this is the one of the good ones that we recommend, How to Meditate by Kathleen McDonald. So let's just quickly, before we call it a total done for the night, and just do a brief dedication. Just think for a moment to yourself about how being here was a great way to spend this evening. You know, we all could have been doing a lot of things. A lot of things we all could have been doing this evening. And you chose to come here and practice or at least learn a little bit about meditation, which is a great thing. Even if it's just learning something new, that's great. So give yourself credit for making the effort to come here. Think about the benefits of being here and try to expand those benefits out. Try to dedicate any benefit that you've gotten from being here. Try to think about how your being here can help you in any way be of benefit to all sentient beings, all living beings. Anything positive we do for ourselves is making the world a little bit of a better place too. Just kind of rest with that thought for a moment. And thank you all very much for coming. I'm going to do one last little commercial before you go. So as Jill said in the beginning, everything we do here is by donations, basically. Just about everybody, except for Jill, just about everybody's a volunteer. Chris, our AV guru back there, is a volunteer. I do this volunteer. Mike is a volunteer. So we do have some costs, and everything we do is on a donation basis. So we do have some costs, like, you know, unfortunately, Duke Energy makes us pay for our electricity. You know, they're not. But so if you do feel like donating, if you think this is beneficial, we have donation boxes outside. You can donate, take out your phone, donate on our website if you'd like to do that. No obligation, but if you would, those opportunities are there. And if you'd like to volunteer, if you maybe this is like, you know, been coming here a few times, or maybe later on down the road after you've been here a few times and you'd like to help out, it's a really cool group of people who basically do all the work here and keep this place running. So if you are interested in volunteering, let me know or let Jill know, and we can tell you what opportunities are available. And that's it. End of commercial. Thanks for coming. If you guys have any questions, like I said, I'll be here for a little while, a few minutes at least. And if not, we'll see you next week.